During the season of Lent, we're thinking about letting go. Letting go of the things that cling to us, the things that hold on to us, the things that keep us from being in a life-giving, full relationship with God. And so I invite us to think about that this morning. We're going to be talking about letting go of our pride. Sort of the image that we have been creating here for letting go is that of a dandelion. So on the first front of your bulletin this morning, there's a dandelion. There's some dandelions up on the altar in front of you. I remember as a child loving to pick up dandelions and blow them and the pieces scatter throughout the yard. This, however, was quite a frustration to my father. Because what I know now about dandelions is that when you're blowing them, they're spreading throughout your yard, and then they're eventually going to pop up there, right? So in order for us to let go of the things that are clinging to us, we can't just blow them away and let them relocate somewhere else. We have to find something to replace them with. So this morning, as we think about letting go of our pride, if we just simply blow the pride away, it'll find another place to take root, and it will continue to rear its ugly head in our lives. And it'll continue to find ways to separate us from God. And yet we're invited to let go of our pride and replace it with something else, so that we can grow fully in a relationship that God has invited us into. So I invite you to hear from the book of Genesis, the third chapter. I'll be reading there, Genesis chapter 3, the first 7 verses. Will you hear now God's word? Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal the Lord God had made. He said to the woman named Eve, he said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And so they sewed together fig leaves and made loincloths for themselves. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. So towards the beginning of January, I put a post on my Facebook page that just asked and inquired of anybody who might like to respond what it is that you needed to let go of. What was it that you or I need to let go of in order that we can more fully live into the relationship that God offers us? Friends, there was an overwhelming response. And the number one thing that folks said they needed to let go of can be summarized in the word pride. People didn't always name it as pride, but here's how they named it. "I need to let go of me. Myself, I. I need to let go of the idea that I know better than God knows. I need to let go of my plan. I need to let go of putting myself on the throne. I need to let go of my career. I need to let go of my ego." Pride. Pride is the preoccupation with ourselves. Synonyms for pride are vanity, conceit, arrogance, egotism, self-glorification, boastfulness, narcissistic. Perhaps some of those slang synonyms are cocky, snobbish, stuck up, know-it-all, self-centered, the person that has a big head. Pride comes in so many different shapes and wears so many different faces. Sometimes pride is what tries to demand control and says, I want it my way. I want to be my own God. I want to run my own show. I want to submit to no one. Sometimes pride says, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Sometimes pride says, I'm going to dig my feet in and be so stubborn because my way is the only way and my way is the right way. Scripture refers to those who are prideful as being stiff-necked and hard of heart. It's easy, friends, it's easy for us to detect in other people. It's easy for us to discern in other people when arrogance or ego or snobbishness seems to get in the way. And so it seems very comfortable to us that we might say that pride is something that we all need to let go of. In fact, C.S. Lewis, who wrote in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote that pride is the spiritual cancer. Pride is the spiritual cancer. And in the Canterbury Tales refer to pride at being at the general root of all harm. The general root of all harm is pride. Spiritual cancer, at the root of all harm is pride. It seems that clearly this is something that you and I and all of humanity are invited to let go of before it cripples us, takes over our lives, squashes our joy, and literally kills our souls. In the book of Genesis, we find that the very first sin perhaps could be named as pride. You see, you have Adam and Eve who've been set down in this glorious garden, this beautiful, this perfect place. All the trees we can imagine growing around them that are abundantly producing fruit. And God says to humankind, God says to Adam and Eve, you see all of the beauty of this creation? Well, you can eat from any of it except for that one tree right there. You can't touch that tree. You can't eat from that tree. Because if you do, you will know the difference between good and evil. And so Adam and Eve received their directive. Eat from any tree that you want except for that one. And then the wise and crafty serpent comes in wise and crafty ways and says to Eve as she stands near that beautiful, glorious, abundant tree that God's told her not to touch or eat from, the wise and crafty serpent said, did God say that you couldn't eat from any tree? And Eve says, God said we could eat from any tree that we wanted to except for this one. Except for this one. The serpent says, Oh, Eve, God didn't really mean that. You see, God really meant that no harm would be done. Because if you ate from that tree, you would become like God. You would become like God and you would know the difference between good and bad. And you would taste of this delicious fruit from this tree. And so Eve begins to think, well, maybe she was confused. Maybe God hadn't been as clear in God's directive. And maybe, in fact, this wise and crafty serpent was right. Maybe it wouldn't be harmful just to have a little tiny bite of the fruit from that tree. After all, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to know the difference between good and evil? And wouldn't it be nice to sort of be like God? And so Eve, we can almost picture it in slow motion, sitting there thinking about these conversations in her head, what God has said and what the serpent has said, and here's this beautiful fruit. And so Eve reaches out, and she takes from the tree, and she eats. And she shares it with Adam. You see, Eve and Adam desired more than anything to be God. That wise and crafty serpent had them convinced that if they would taste of that tree, they would become like God. And they would know the things that God knows. They would know the difference between good and evil. They would become like God. How many of us, if we're 100% honest with ourselves, would love the opportunity to be God? To be God of the universe, to be God the creator, to be God the one that makes the decisions, and God the one that decrees the laws, and God the one that tells us how to live, and God the one that showers down blessings and love. Well, maybe we don't desire to be like God, but we sure do live our lives as if we are God. Because sometimes we say that, well, we know everything. We're better than other people. Sometimes it might have even come out of our mouths, if I were God, Pride makes it very hard for us to accept the free gift that God has given to us. You see, Adam and Eve had received this free gift of a glorious, abundant creation. And it wasn't enough to just hear that they could have access to anything in that garden that they wanted except the one tree. Their pride got in their way. They couldn't receive the free gift of abundance that God had showered down upon them. They had to have the one thing that God said no. God said no. And Adam and Eve had to have it. Sometimes we work at any way that we can to get that thing that we know is not good for us, and we know is not good for other people. And that's when our pride kicks in. Our pride that makes it so hard to accept the free gift that God has given to us, and that we think we have to do more and more and more and more things in order that God might love us more. Friends, God showered down love, grace, and life upon each and every one of us. It was a free gift offered to us without price. But when our pride gets in the way, we find it hard to accept that free gift because we find it easier to live our lives for ourselves. In fact, you and I have a decision every single day of our life. Am I going to live my life today for God? Or am I going to live my life today as God? And if I live my life today as God, then I'm choosing to live my life for Sally. So every single morning when we wake up, or every single opportunity that's put before us, we have a choice. Are we going to let pride carry the control? Are we going to live our lives for ourselves? Or are we going to submit and live our lives for God. Because God has so abundantly showered gifts down upon us. Our pride keeps us from fully living into that abundant life. Because our pride says, I know better than God. I've done more. I'm smarter. I can figure it out on my own. And I'll hold God at a distance. Now, maybe those aren't the exact words that we say. Here, perhaps, might be what sounds a little more familiar to us. So we've made a mistake. We've made a mistake at work or in our homes, in our relationships with somebody. We've done something and it was a mistake. Pride says, you didn't make a mistake. It was somebody else's fault. God says, it's okay to say I messed up. How many times when we make mistakes is our pride getting in the way and keeping us from being able to admit our own failures? Or maybe pride, we've been in a really hurtful conversation with somebody. It's been really intense, and words have been thrown around, and hearts have been broken. Our pride says, I'm going to walk away. Our pride says, I didn't do anything wrong. Our pride says, there's no way that I need to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe our pride is saying to us, I've got to have the biggest and the best, the newest and the nicest. Because in this world where I'm a little preoccupied with myself, then all the things around me need to be new and nice and the best and the brightest in order that I might lift myself up and others might say, wow, look at that person. So if you and I are going to spend time in this Lenten season letting go of our pride, letting go of our pride that says, no, you can't have that in the middle, or letting go of our pride that says, sometimes I make mistakes, I need to ask for forgiveness, then you and I are going to have to find something to replace it with. And that's where we're invited to think about that free gift that God has offered to us. The free gift that God has generously given to us and in turn invites us to generously and sacrificially give to others. That's why the children got the little cans of M&Ms this morning. So that they can go into the world and share kindness and share love with other people, because God in Jesus Christ has given love abundant to them. And God in Christ has given abundant love to you. And if we are going to say that we want to live our lives for God, then we're going to have to empty ourselves, rid ourselves of that spiritual cancer that C.S. Lewis refers to pride as, rid ourselves of that pride so that we can fill ourselves with generosity and sacrifice for others. This week I was part of the accreditation process for Gaston County Schools. It was time for Gaston County to be re-accredited as a school system. And I was asked, both as a parent at Robinson Elementary and then as a mentor at Warlick School, the alternative school in our community, to go there both as a parent and as a mentor to speak to how Gaston County Schools is making a difference in our community. I was asked to speak on the four C's that Mr. Booker has, the C's of communication, of commitment, of choice, and of community. And so I sat in a room with about 15 other people and listened to these people speak and had my opportunity to share. And it got all the way around the room to the very last individual, who was very patient and listened as each of us spoke our turn. And then we got to him. He introduced himself, and I didn't know him, but he introduced himself as Chris Hafer, and then went on to explain that he is the owner of the Kia dealership here in Gastonia. And Chris began to speak, and he said, "I've listened to all of you, and I've listened to you talk about things that you struggle with about the Gaston County school system, and I've listened to you talk about the age of some of the buildings, and I've listened to you talk about the access to school choice." And he said, "At the heart of all of that, though, I've heard you talk about people. I've heard you talk about the greatest investment that Gaston County School has, and that's the educators that work in the school system." And he said, "I, as a community partner, decided years ago, in fact, I think it was in 2013, that I would enter into a direct partnership with Gaston County Schools. And every year I would help Gaston County Schools to honor an educator. And they would be the educator of the year, and they would receive a Kia off the lot at my dealership." Well, I've heard of that program, and I've seen publicity around the nominees from each school who go and stand up on the stage, and all of their names are put into a hat, and then one name is drawn out, and that person walks away with a brand new Kia. But I had the opportunity to see face to face the man behind the generosity. And the man behind the generosity who could have let the pride of being a successful business owner, the pride of being able to acquire not just Kia of Gastonia, but Kia in other locations, sit in a room of community leaders and say the greatest asset that this school system has are the educators. And because of that, I want to help honor those educators. Friends, pride. Pride, when we let go of our pride, when we let go of our accomplishments, when we let go of our success, when we let go of our esteem, and we let go of ourselves, we are freed. We are freed to be generous, to be loving, to be kind, and to be sacrificial to others. I invite us during this season of Lent to blow the dandelion of pride far, far, far away and replace it within our lives with generosity, love, and kindness. May it be so for us who call ourselves the children of God. Amen. So throughout the season of Lent, we're going to use the last hymn as an opportunity for us to respond. For us to respond to that within ourselves that we need to let go of. And so I'd say to you that as we sing, the altar is open and you're invited to come if you wish, to spend some time there in prayer, letting go of what's separating you from God. Or you're also invited to come and replace that letting go of your pride, of yourself, with some kind of generous offering. So the altar is open. You're invited to come as we stand together and sing hymn number 399, "Take My Life and Let It Be."